tongue and a tap of a two. But everything I got belongs to you. The evening breeze caressed the trees tenderly. The trembling trees embraced the breeze tenderly. Then you and I came wandering by and lost in our the shore was kissed by sea and mist tenderly. I can't forget how two hearts met breathlessly.
Good evening and welcome to the City of Goleta's Park and Recreation Commission meeting. And we are going to open it up with a call to order and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're ready for roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner McGulpin?
Here.
Commissioner Rodriguez? Commissioner Talese?
Here.
Commissioner Warner?
Here.
Vice Chair Lynn?
Here.
Chair West?
Here. Okay, moving along to A1, we're going to have a presentation concerning the Bicycle Pedestrian Draft Master Plan. And we have James Winslow, our Senior Project Engineer, to tell us all about it. Welcome.
And Chair, I did want to let you know that we had no public forum speakers.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. I feel like I can't quite see Commissioner Rodriguez. Thank you for having me. My name is James Winslow. I'm a senior project engineer in the Public Works Department Capital Improvement Program. And thanks for having us today. We're here to talk about provide an update on the Bicycle Pedestrian Master Plan. And so I'm just going to jump into it. The purpose of the project is to guide the future of walking and biking in Goleta and what improvements can be made to make those activities safer for our community. And the overall goal is really to expand and improve that network in our city. We're all familiar with the city of Goleta, but just for those who may be watching, this is a map of the city. And the city is in the salmon color with a red border. As you may or may not be aware, when we incorporated from the county, we adopted their bicycle and pedestrian or their bicycle plan in 2005. It was an interim plan. It was updated in 2009 to add a few projects to the list, and that was the amendment that happened in December of 2009. We went after some grant funding with the Sustainable Growth Council with the Department of Natural Resources and landed a $203,000 grant and $415, sorry, with a local match of about $24,000. Additionally, we went after Measure A funding to help with a phase two and additional public outreach components to boost those outreach events. And that was about a $73,000 grant in Measure A that we have. And so we're really excited to have those two grants to help fund this project. We've been coordinating a lot on this project. We've, of course, got our local agency partners, UCSB, City of and County of Santa Barbara, as well as a lot of the local advocacy groups and major players, MTD, SB Bike, Coast, local community organizations, and the Goleta Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Community Environmental Council. We started off with outreach events. It was a big data gathering, so we gave the consultant all of the data that we have for the city related to bicycle, pedestrian, our capital projects, you know, all that information. But we also reached out to the public, and we had tables at the Lemon Festival and the Farmers Market last fall. We started the online survey, and there was some hard copies at two locations here in City Hall, the community center, as well as the library for individuals to drop off the surveys. But most of it was an online survey. We held workshops, as you see, at three different locations in the fall. And a result of all these comments is probably close to 2,000 plus responses. We had over 1,600 survey responses alone. So that doesn't account for the multiple comments on all of the maps. And it's one of the biggest responses that our consultant KTU plus A has seen. And they do these a lot. This is their kind of, you know, the bread and butter, what they do. And they've got counties that only do have responses of less than 200. So having more than 1600 was a good response. We have a highly engaged community, essentially is what that means, which is nice. Here's some of the announcements that went out for the Lemon Festival and Farmers Market, the flyer, as well as the online survey. And there are larger copies, I believe, at the back of your packets that are more readily easy to read. and two pages, like in English and Spanish. It was all electronic, mostly online, and there was a map at the end where individuals could also add comments and specific information at specific locations. So they didn't just have to come to a workshop to add their comments on the maps. They could do it on the map online, which is really neat. Again, another postcard with a QR code. If you're familiar, whoops, I skipped one too far. The two maps you just saw quickly there are our current maps for our bicycle and pedestrian facilities. And I'm just highlighting these to show, you know, where we already have, you can see the red, you know, a lot of sidewalks that are already planned or have been put in place since the city incorporated that are different from the general plan where the sidewalks are already noted. So that's the existing conditions for sidewalks and the existing conditions for bicycle facilities as well. And we have a pretty good amount of bicycle facilities in the city. Here's some images of the outreach event, the Lemon Festival and the Farmers Market. There we go. I think that was Camino or Encino Royale, one of the events. And you see, again, people are actively marking up the maps and making their comments. Some of the things that we really were trying to engage the community with and some of the questions that we were asking at the workshops and on the maps and in the one-on-one or smaller group interactions were questions such as these, you know, what makes biking or walking more accessible to you? What would make you feel safer? What's a more family-friendly route? What are the accesses to shopping centers or schools? And so those, you know, the big key, though, is really barriers, both perceived and actual barriers or gaps in our network that we were looking for that we're not necessarily aware of, but our community is. And I think we've gotten some good feedback on that. This is the results we got from the comments, and we, KTU plus A, put these in GIS for us and color-coded them for blue pedestrian, the salmon color for bicycle, and yellow for other. And I show this just to note or point out that we got a lot of comments all over the city. But if I click one more, we got a lot of comments in what we're calling our focus area, and that's really at Fairview, Kyriel Hollister corridor. And if we zoom in on that, you can see that there's just a ton of comments, both bike ped and some other, in those areas. They then took in GS all those comments and they did something called a heat map, which is taking the intensity of all the comments. So again, you can see purple, the deeper the color, the more intense, the more number of comments we had. Again, in that focus area, if we zoom in, you can see the focus in there. So again, the last, after the public outreach, survey kind of closed in February, we took all the information, our consultant inventoried the comments, they analyzed every single comment, went through, kind of vetted them all to make sure they were in the right location. You know, is anything really standing out as a major safety issue that needed our attention right now? They responded, passed them on to us, but also responded to the person if they left the contact. And then just reviewing demographic trends. And so a result of that is the list of projects that we're coming up with, potential projects going forward, and then eventually the draft plan. Some of those projects include, path repairs or new facilities, sidewalks or bike lanes. Other support facilities or infrastructure, such as bike stalls and that, would be included. Potential for adding lighting in some areas. There's a lot of comments on, I love walking, but my neighborhood's too dark. And so we're taking all those into account. And then intersection controls. And so what we've done is we've come up with a list of about 10 projects in the city that are all located on this map. And that's what we're moving forward with taking back to our technical advisory commission or committee, sorry. And eventually we'll be worked into a draft master plan, and then we'll be bringing this back to the public and to council to engage and get more feedback. But you can see a lot of the comments. We do have projects all over the city. There's restriping, the list at the bottom is the different types of treatments, and those include things like adjusting signal timing for crossings or adding better sidewalk facilities or better crosswalk structures. Buffered bike lanes wherever we can fit them. And on a side note, I know our director, Rosemary Gaglioni, and others have been meeting with Coast and SB Bike one-on-one regularly and talking about specific projects. So for instance, the paving project, wherever we can restripe when we're repaving or slurrying, we're meeting with SB Bike to see what they want to include. So we're not waiting for this bike ped master plan to be done to incorporate a lot of the comments we've gotten from the community or input from advocacy groups like SB Bike. We are actively taking those comments and advice and incorporating them into the current project, such as the paving project. And then we do have a bunch, if we zoom in, there's again, this is the focus area where there's a lot of treatments that are potentially recommended. And we did bring this to the public, a list of the projects last Wednesday at the community center, and had some good feedback. There's, we have a very engaged community and we're excited about that. And we will be hosting, I'm jumping ahead. So at this point, our next steps, and I think that's what everyone's really interested in, and then I'd be happy to take questions, but we're working on this draft list of projects, which we showed you there, and we have boards for everyone. I didn't really want to, go through every single location with you, but we do have, that's what we presented last Wednesday, was kind of that list of projects everywhere. And so that's kind of drafted, and we're tweaking that and going from through the stages of that. We're looking at a council workshop in late August, if we can swing it. And the draft document for the report in July and August. We're working on an outline currently. So the consultant is providing what that draft document will look like, what will be included in it. Some of the things would be like policy updates. There's been a lot of questions out there. Are you including policy? Are you looking at Vision Zero? Are you looking at, greenhouse gas? And all those things are incorporated or will be incorporated in some fashion or another, and we'll be putting in the outline together, bringing that to the city management for vetting, and then back to the public and to council for future vetting. So that's kind of where we're going. The draft will be out there once we have a draft. We'll be out there for, again, public review and consumption, input and feedback. And then eventually we'll take that to council for their feedback. We'll do revisions and end up with a finished product the end of the year or early spring. And then phase two we're starting right now, is also the streets design standards, and that's the Measure A grant that I was talking to you about, and developing our street guidelines. Right now we have county guidelines that we've adopted and use, and there's a lot of new information out there, like NACTO guidelines, that we can incorporate. And so we have this opportunity in this grant to use to be able to develop our own standards for our streetwear roads, and we're excited about that. I think that's all I have at this point. I would be happy to take any questions.
Thank you so much for this excellent presentation. Are there questions? Commissioner?
Hi, thank you, James. That was very informative. I'm really heartened by the response from the public. That's really great to see so many people engaged. I personally ride my bike for short little trips to Old Town, and I think that you saw in the heat maps that those of us that want to avoid the traffic through that Fairview corridor are very anxious to have nice pathways through there. I'm a little curious. I know this is a combination of pedestrian and bicycle. Have most of the responses centered around the bicycles, or combination, or what's the ratio there in your sense, just as a rough idea?
That's a good question. We have very good statistics, and I do apologize for not bringing the breakdown of all those. There is predominantly male in the 25 to 40 range was the checkbox on there. It was about 33% to 35%, I think, more bicycle. Pedestrian was in the, I think, 25-30 range. So it was a little bit more bicycle comments, I believe. But pretty even across the board. I mean, if I go back to that map real quick, there's a lot of overlap, or yellow and blue. Here we go. Orange and blue. You can see the breakdown. It's pretty, particularly in the focus area, it's pretty balanced, I would say, in terms of comments. And that kind of applies across the city. In areas where there's intersections, again, you would expect to see along Cathedral Oaks, and they're all orange pretty much. It's not a big walking facility. It is the place where we know we have identified a project in our capital program to do go after future grant funding to put a Class 1 facility in there and extend it from, as you know, Glen Annie, where it starts or ends, however, whichever you're going direction, over towards Fairview, not quite. And that's one thing I want to add too, is that, you know, the outcome of this, besides just a document that we can point to for bike and ped, it will allow us to go after additional grant funding and have better support for that. We can point to this document and not say, well, it's an interim one that we've adopted from the county. No, it's one that we've vetted with the community and with council, and it's our document, and it's what our community wants to see going forward. And so that'll really help us secure additional grant funding for that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question about, what kind of categories fit into other, just because I've noticed that there's a lot of, yellow dots all over the map.
It's a great question, Commissioner Tolis. It's they're kind of, pun intended, all over the map, the comments for other. Road condition, a lot of them fell into that, I would believe. There was a lot of, for instance, the one, extension of Cayo Real through here. A lot of things that just people want to see or ideas that they had, just to kind of, really big picture things that really didn't apply to bike or ped. Some outside the city, as you can tell. And if I can, let's see what else, if I can remember. Traffic timing would be most of them as well, like signal timing or, those types of questions that may not apply to both, but may not apply specifically to bike or ped.
Yeah. And it just occurred to me that you have a number of notes on UCSB. Is there an integration between their efforts and ours?
Yeah, Commissioner Hart, thank you for asking that question. I was just going to add that on to the end. I decided to wait. Our TAC is comprised of all of the members, and we will be sharing this feedback with UCSB, City of Santa Barbara, County of Santa Barbara, particularly as those local agencies that are adjacent to us. We're partnering together on this so that, you know, whatever we're doing, particularly like on Hollister, you're not going from one end of, City of Goleta through Hollister and go into the City of Santa Barbara here by the airport, and then back into the City of Goleta, and then into the county, and then into the City of Santa Barbara farther down, and have different, significantly different treatments on the road, particularly for cycling. So trying to work with them so that we have similar, you know, treatments that we're putting in place in our plan, our respective plans.
But so also linkages?
Consistency and linkages wherever we can, wherever we have the right of way and the ability to do so, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes.
Hi. I just had a couple questions. One was just terms. When you mentioned pedestrian and bicycle facilities, are you referring to striped paths, off-street bike paths, sidewalks that are concrete or just pathways? What do you mean by facilities? Mm-hmm. That's one question. That's mm-hmm. just definition. The other one is there any plan to have signage for bicyclists once mm-hmm. things are more funded and in place?
Sure. Commissioner Lynn, those are great questions. Bike and pedestrian facilities, it applies to pretty much anything. I mean, a facility for a bicycle is a class one or a bike path, a class two, a bike lane, you know, all the way down class three, you know, shared, and class four is buffered. So you have same thing with sidewalks, you know, widths of sidewalks, you know, so a lot of it is what, when I say facility, it's what can be put in that area based on how much room we have or speeds of the roadway, those types of things. So does that answer your question for a little bit better or no?
Well, does it also include bike racks?
Yes, and that slightly different, but that's one thing I mentioned earlier. We are looking at including storage facilities, you know, or bike racks to park at. It also includes potentially showers, you know, not something that we would put in, but, you know, there's opportunities if you have a major housing area to a employment center. And I know SB CAG's Traffic Solutions really works on that to include, you know, hey, can you put showers in so that people would walk and bike to work more? And so those are things that you take into account when you're designing the road, you know, the roadways to include bike and pedestrian facilities. And if we can add bike racks in, you know, there's ways to do that. Those are all kind of included. But in terms of in the public right of way, it really applies to what type of path or sidewalk we're putting in. And striping, right? Buffered, you know, buffered zones versus non-buffered, you know, striping, sharrows.
Signage?
And yes, thank you. Your signage. There is a component in this that is looking at signage. But I also know, again, coordinating with SB Bike and others, they have a wayfinding program, which includes signage in the community and trying to be consistent within the county up and down. And I think into Ventura as well, because of like the 101 path that goes to Ventura. So having some consistency with the signage, I know they were working on.
I mention that because I live near UCSB, mm-hmm. and we get lost people in there on bikes all the time. And they're like, where are we?
Yeah.
So I don't know why they don't know the streets, but on a bike, they seem to be, they're looking for the path. They're looking for the trail through. They're looking for the linkages. I don't know how you can deal with that, but it happens a lot.
Yeah,
on UCSB.
That may be some of the yellow comments. I'm not exactly sure. I think this is more like horseback riding trails, too, to answer another question back earlier. But, yeah, this is county, and so that's another good thing we can pass on, you know, Isla Vista, the unincorporated county area, to make sure they're adding more signage to get to the bike path through there. Mm-hmm. That's a great comment. Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to acknowledge the welcoming atmosphere that these workshops have, that you've created. I attended the Goleta Community Center one. I believe Commissioner Warner, you were there as well with the bikes, and we did the tour of the streets, and I showed up in my skates representing the skater population.
I remember that.
And also, there was the one before that with the maps, and I just want to encourage and the community at large to participate. It's not intimidating. It was interpretation was offered, and I really appreciate that the survey, your PowerPoint, and all of these are in English and Spanish.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for that. We work hard to make it count, both English and Spanish. And we have a good team on board, both internally helping us to review and our consultant, KTU Plus A. We have a couple staff on board that have reviewed all of these for me, as well as other projects. And not just for me, but the whole group. And they work hard, so we're really thankful for them. I have to acknowledge that, their help.
I have one question. As a new member of the Park and Recreation Commission, can you talk a little bit about how you see our role as a commission in the Bicycle Master Plan? I mean, I appreciate the information that I'm getting, and I spent some time trying to bring myself up to date on the progress and how and what's been happening. And so I would just like to hear what our role is in the Bicycle Master Plan.
Sure, I would like to pump that one to Ms. Plummer to address.
Sure, thank you, James. Commissioner Warner and the rest of the commissioners, I would like to share with you that this presentation is part of the series of presentations that we talked about earlier this year, that to be inclusive and knowledgeable on all the plans that affect and impact what's happening in parks, recreation, open spaces here in Goleta. So our role in this would be one, knowledge, encouragement, and participation. And if you recall, in the recreation needs assessment, trails and safe opportunities for people to walk, hike, and bike was an important element, and this falls right into that. So this is creating the master plan for the bicycle pedestrian master plan, and then knowing that connectivity. So it's another thing that we're checking off, that recreation needs assessment, as we move through this process, and it works. They work hand in hand. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And at this time, we have a request to speak from Mr. Wilson Hubble.
Hello. My name is Wilson Hubble. Oh, do not touch microphone. Okay. Sorry. My name is Wilson Hubble. I'm a resident of the Goleta Valley. I'm also a retired Santa Barbara County employee. For many years, I was the senior environmental planner for the Santa Barbara County Public Works Department Transportation Division. And I was actually the bicycle ped guy prior to Goleta being incorporated. And I must say that I really want to compliment the city of Goleta for the effort and the time that you've put into this. The amount of public outreach, not only within the city of Goleta, but also at UCSB, where there was actually an outreach event on campus at the student center that gathered a large number of people. I only wish that you had been here 20 years ago when I could have dealt with you rather than the Board of Supervisors. It would have been so much easier. The one thing I would recommend, and James touched on it just briefly, is that what we have here is really sort of a list of projects, but a plan has to be more than just a list of projects. We need to talk about goals and objectives and policies as well. James touched on that a little bit, and I'm not saying that you need to necessarily develop new policies and new goals and new objectives. You already have many of those already in your current general plan and in your Vision Zero statement, and I would hope, and James alluded to this, that those would be adopted into the plan. That was one of the things that we noted. In addition to a number of other hats that I've worn over many, many years, I'm past president of the Bicycle Coalition. And that was one of the things that the coalition really wanted to see, was more than just a list of projects, but what are the goals and objectives? What are we hoping to achieve long term? The other thing, and I'm going to hold off on this, James, I have some specific comments in regard to Hollister Avenue and the types of things that we tried to do back in the Pleistocene to make life better on Hollister Avenue for bicyclists and pedestrians who have to travel through that corridor. But I realize there's a time and a place for those comments, and that's probably not here and not now. But I'll be happy to answer any questions that anybody has regarding anything pertaining to bicycle and pedestrian master plan activities that took place before Goleta was incorporated, or anything else you might have in regard to the Bicycle Coalition or just traveling around Goleta by bike, which I've done for many, many years. Those are the end of my comments, but if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Yes. Commissioner Hart?
Technically, I don't believe we can engage in a question and answer with a member of the public, correct?
No.
But it is nice to know that you are a resource, and certainly if you get in touch with staff, we can direct our questions through staff and get information from you. You sound like a really good source of a lot of good history and information. So thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Hart.
Thank you. All right, next we're moving on to A2. Regarding July is National Parks and Recreation Month, and our wonderful Parks and Recreation Manager, Joanne Plummer, is going to give us a presentation. And I do want to just compliment you on all the wonderful things you have done for the month of July coming up. You've created an amazing calendar, and I'm sure you'll tell everybody all about it.
Thank you, Chair West. Chair West, members of the commission, and our audience at home, I'm so excited today to talk to you about July as National Parks and Recreation Month. As you know, parks and recreation are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in a community, ensuring the health of families and youth, and contributing to the well-being of a community and a region. So we are going to talk a little bit more about what really is Parks and Recreation Month. It's a month that was established similar to other months, whether it's, you know, a Teacher Appreciation Week or you know, Wear Red Today Day, Popcorn Day. It's an opportunity for people to go out and celebrate recreation, explore, and discover. So first, it was originally established a long time ago by the National Recreation and Park Association, and it used to be celebrated in June. But in order to be aligned with summer vacations, the celebration was moved to July and officially endorsed in 1985 by then Vice President George H.W. Bush and Walter Payton. Bush actually commended Parks and Recreation Services, stating they remind us how precious and wonderful life is. And again, designed as a gentle reminder to discover the power of play and adventure. And with all the aspects of our beautiful parks and amazing open spaces, Goleta is indeed the good land. So we are celebrating this year's 2017 theme with Get Your Play On. So what is happening in Goleta? On June 20th, the mayor presented the staff and Vice Chair Lynn with a proclamation designating July as Parks and Recreation Month in Goleta. A calendar of free activities for community members has been published, and we are challenging our residents to get their play on. We've created that calendar of free things that residents can take advantage of every day in the month of July. Activities range from watching a magician at the Goleta Library to a family day at the Boys and Girls Club, concerts at the Community Center gazebo, music at the ranch, and on and on. We have also provided some gentle reminders on our calendar for our residents, suggesting that perhaps they fly a kite in Stowe Park, go on a bike ride, plant a garden, or more. We've even included a few how-to workshops to teach residents how they can take advantage of some of our recreation amenities with pickleball and disc golf workshops. And copies of this calendar are available throughout various locations in town and also available on our website under our Parks and Recreation Open Space tab. So if you go there, there's actually on the banner on our homepage, you can click on the Parks and Recreation Month. So we are asking that our citizens go get their play on the bottom of the calendar in some small print. There's ongoing free activities listed as well, to include free meal services, bowling opportunities for children, and Boys and Girls Club activities, as well as the library and the Goleta Community Center. So there's a copy of our calendar right there. That's what it looks like when you come down to it. And a picture of Vice Chair Lynn, myself, and Mayor Perotti at our June 20th City Council meeting, where we accepted the proclamation, which Chair West has a copy of. So if you want to hold that up for our audience at home, Chair West. Fantastic. So if you have any questions, please feel free. But again, we want you to go out and celebrate the month of July as National Parks and Recreation Month.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Is this the first year we're doing this here in Goleta, or has this been going on for a while?
It's been going on for a long time, since the 80s, but it's the first time we're actually celebrating in the city of Goleta. We're making history.
Coach Ruth?
Yes, a few questions. Obviously, I see play a game of horseshoes at Stowe Park, grab friends for a soccer game at Andamar Park. Will the equipment be available to them, or do they have to provide their own?
They would typically have to provide their own. One of the goals of the calendar was to encourage people to visit our parks and remind them of some of the amenities that are at those locations. So we don't have supplies available for people, equipment available for checkout at this time. But if people have horseshoes, they can go out there and play horseshoes, grab a soccer ball and do that. It's just reminding them that these amenities are available, such as the pickleball clinics, the disc golf course, that those are all available too. At the workshops, we are trying to secure equipment for people that don't own equipment for those workshops. We're still working out the details on that, but that is the goal, so that people can learn and try and play it. And if they like it, then they can invest in their own equipment.
One other question. So on the horseshoes and the soccer night, is there no specific time, or?
Well, these are just suggestions.
They're just suggestions. It's little prompts for people to, again, remind them to do something. A lot of times, kids say, oh, there's nothing to do. Well, here's a nice suggestion for you. It's simple. It's something to do. And again, to take advantage of all the opportunities we have available within our community.
Great. Thank you.
Is this available online?
It is available online.
Since this is the first time Goleta is doing it this big, is there going to be a photographer or somebody on hand documenting this? Because I noticed they have a hashtag play on July. I would suggest maybe adding Goleta. That way we could document all the fun happening.
That is definitely a possibility. I will check with our community relations manager. The hashtag play on July and nrpa.org/July is part of the National Recreation and Park Association. They're actually collecting that data from all over the country to see how people are celebrating July as Parks and Recreation Month.
Thank you.
One other thing for me, I'd be happy in future years to, since I am Coach Ruth, to volunteer and be a liaison for people to come, and I'll bring the soccer balls or whatever and encourage people to be there and playing with me if there was a specific time.
That'd be fabulous. Thank you.
Yes, I was wanting to ask a little bit about the concerts at the community center. Is that any type of collaboration with the Music Academy's music festival this summer, or Who is playing, or what kind of music is that going to be on those nights?
I don't have a schedule of the actual artists that will be playing those evenings. That is being coordinated by the Downtown Association. So they are planning all those activities like they did last year.
Oh yes.
Is this document also offered in Spanish as well, or not at all?
Right now, it's not offered in Spanish, but we can definitely check into that as well.
Okay, moving on to our consent calendar. We are going to pursue approval of the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting on April 26.
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes as submitted.
Excellent. Do we have a second?
I will second that.
Thank you, Coach Ruth. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, there we go. Thank you. So next on our agenda is the discussion item C1. We have an update on the neighborhood outreach results for playground replacement at various park facilities. And we have a presentation by Joanne Plummer, our Parks and Recreation Manager. And I would like to say that I know Commissioner Werner and I attended some of these outreach events, and I thought the presentations were outstanding by Joanne, and really welcomed everyone in that area to become a part of the discussion. So I'd like to compliment you on that.
Thank you, Chair West. Chair West and members of the Commission, I wanted to remind you, back in April of 2017, the Commission supported staff's recommendation to move forward with the park improvements on the following locations: Berkeley Park, Andamar Park, Winchester 1, and Winchester 2. And we did so by conducting two different outreach sessions, held one to discuss Winchester 1 and 2, and one to discuss Andamar and Berkeley. We did our outreach through Facebook, the website Nextdoor, and an article in the Monarch Press. We were pretty discouraged at the turnout that we had, and we've been talking in the office about why that turnout could have been so low. We're really hoping to see more people. We're not sure if it was a lack of knowledge of the meetings, if it was a lack of interest in the topic, or if it was just conflicts in the schedule because it was late in May, so it may have been a little bit too much for some of the parents who are wrapping up the school year and trying to, especially trying to enjoy that beautiful weather we were having that last week of May. So our meeting process, to give you a little background on that, we conducted a slide presentation of the different types of playground equipment that could be considered. We had a discussion about the multi-agency surfacing study that continues, informing our participants that safety surfacing would not be included in the discussions at this time. We had an opportunity for questions and lots of discussion, and the method for each participant to select their top three choices and provide additional input or comments in writing. The results of the meeting were as follows. This was included in your packet. We gave everybody three dots and asked them to pick their top three choices. We listed items like swings. Motion would include items like a merry-go-round, slides, education and music. We typically see these in panels or musical instruments that people can play in playgrounds. Climbing apparatuses, fitness equipment that is geared towards the older child and adults. We discussed whether or not we should be programming towards the 2 to 5 year old age group or the 5 to 12 year old age group or both. And these were the results that came up. So we had lots of comments and lots of discussion that took place. There was a strong desire expressed to consider natural elements like rocks and gardens and mud kitchens. There was actually one member at one of our meetings that talked about actually natural parks where they infuse mud into the parks and the kids actually show up in their bathing suits and get filthy dirty and have a great time. And so we did some looking into those types of parks. There are two in Southern California, and they are both supervised areas. So they have an opening and a closing time, and they are supervised with staff monitoring all the activity all the time. So they're not just open neighborhood parks. But they were looking at those kind of elements instead of manufactured play equipment. There was discussion related to the types of materials used for the equipment and the manufactured installed safety labels and signs. There were requests to consider shaded picnic areas, park awareness, such as more signs, accessibility, inclusion for all age groups, and consider the potential for graffiti when choosing and picking out different elements that would be put into a park. And there was also a suggestion to incorporate the current park design, including the hills, into some of the play features. I'm sorry. Also on the comments, I wanted to remind you that it was mentioned again, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, that these meetings were not to discuss the playground surfacing, but that that was an area of expressed interest at both our meetings. And as soon as the results from the ongoing multi-agency study is completed, staff will bring back those findings to share with the commission along with any recommendations moving forward. So tonight we're asking for your input. We're asking you to choose one of the following considerations: to either continue and move forward with the playground improvement process with the information that we received from our two outreach meetings, or we've explored the idea of conducting an online survey starting from mid-July through the end of August to gather additional input for these parks, or we can conduct additional outreach efforts in the fall working closely with local schools to assist with the dissemination of information. So that's what we're here to talk about tonight, and I'm available for any questions.
Okay.
Wait. Do you still want to be chairperson?
No, I'm just going to start asking questions.
Okay. The first thing I would like to share, having attended those two things, is do you mind putting up on the screen the three options? So I feel that staff put so much effort and work in creating these wonderful outreach evenings. However, there were very few people in attendance. So I would strongly recommend number two and number three. I think to sit here and listen to the wonderful input that the bike and trail communities shared with our previous presenter, it would be great to go online and try to reach out to the rest of the community. Also, I think I love item number three again, and we had talked about that after your outreach efforts, that if we can tie into collaboratively reaching out to PTAs at the various elementary schools and getting those parents involved in the fall in sharing their input, I think that would be really important. So I love your ideas up on the screen. Are there any other comments over here? Yes, Commissioner Werner.
I do have a couple of questions regarding working with the schools in the fall. I guess my one concern that has to do with that is that you're just focusing on one demographic, and which is important. I mean, a lot of the playgrounds, are used by young children. But I'd also like to see, I mean, if we do go that way, I'd like to see an outreach to also, reach out to different age groups, teens, older adult, older adults. I know the assessment needs report does say that the demographics in Goleta is changing, and in the future, Goleta's getting older and older, and so I'd really like to make sure that we can capture input from that demographic if we continue.
Great idea.
Can I add to your comment? I think that waiting until fall would include a large demographic, especially now since most schools are working with Parent Square, and it would be inclusive of parents, of family relatives. You could include the survey on there, and they would have access to that. They get text messages. My concern with number two would be that not all people have. It's still a big issue, right, with equitable access to internet and doing the online survey itself. So waiting until fall would be my recommendation, and especially to try to get a student's voice. I think that in itself, getting students to write persuasive essays, getting students to do like an art drawing or sketch of what their dream would be like to have those certain parks, and what additions they would add to that. I think back to school, and like somebody mentioned, PTO. And other parent groups would be more included.
Great, thank you. Coach?
My vote is for three as well. To go along with Ms. Rodriguez's suggestion, a contest for high school or elementary school or junior high students could be fun to go along with that. I like the idea of the picture with the dream of what your park might look like. Remember, our demographic is changing, like you said, and the kids that play at it, by the time it's built, there's already going to be new ideas. So, you know, it's just, it goes along with everything. So let's not forget about the preschools as well. You know, Evergreen Preschool over there by Brandon Elementary School would be a great source. You know, they have babies through preschool students. And those parents there would probably offer a lot of good input. And there are bound to be preschools within the homes that you guys might have access to, knowing where those preschools are, and you can get information from those preschool providers. And I know we have community members here that live near these parks today, so I know they're going to have input as well. But I do also like the idea of Parent Square, because it is an easy way to get information disseminated, and they do have those online surveys. And it is in English and Spanish on Parent Square if the parent can access it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hart, did you have something?
Yes, I did. Yeah. You want to go first? Okay. I want to be devil's advocate, not because I want to derail the growing consensus here, but just to make sure that we're covering a couple of things, and that one of it is safety. Were any of these, I'm trying to remember all the details of what you had presented in April, but I remember a crumbling retaining wall. Is that, am I in the right presentation?
You are in the right presentation, okay. But that park is not being looked at this time.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't quite crumbling, but it needs attention. So just for clarification.
I apologize for the mischaracterization.
These four parks, all four of them have swings, and they are all in need of accessibility from the sidewalk or the street to those play apparatuses.
Right.
And just as a reminder, this is for a playground overhaul versus a complete park renovation. So it's not a complete park renovation. It is geared towards just providing access as well as equipment replacement as needed, and then a surfacing that would be conducive to wheelchairs and accessibility.
Okay. So along with that, I know you've already done the assessment. Are there any, I guess, safety concerns that you would think would be better addressed sooner than later?
Anything that was of imminent danger, we've already taken action on. It's things that need to happen sooner than later, so we don't want to happen in 2020. We don't want to make these changes, but we do want to keep that ball moving.
Okay, and the other one would be, is there any funding or grants that would expire that we need to be concerned about?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Okay, Commissioner Tullis.
I just give my input that I do agree with, I guess, most everybody here, where option number three seems to be the best, where it's the most inclusive just for everybody. Because one, well, we only have like a few people who actually attended the meetings, correct? And then the second one, I just stated before, really the equity of like technology is kind of one of those things where it could definitely change, I guess, who can like say what exactly. And I'd also like to go back to, I guess, how y'all were basically saying that, hey, there's these meetings, come,
the outreach,
there you go. Yeah, I guess how that was done, again, just because at least to me, as far as I've noticed, it seems that it was mostly based on, I guess, if you were specifically looking for something like that, you'd find it. And for many people, usually once, I guess, they settled into a certain lifestyle, they kind of stay in their own bubble, you know? So then they don't always seek things out. And so sometimes you kind of have to put it right in their faces and be like, hey, there's this thing. If you really care about it, go for it, you know? Because, it's just one of those things where it definitely seemed like if you wanted to find out more about it, and or if you want to talk more about it, you'd have to know about it, you know, rather than like having it being introduced to you as, oh, hey, this is a cool idea. So, yeah.
Yes.
Hi. I have a couple questions for Ms. Plummer. On the survey, would you do SurveyMonkey, something like that? Or do you do something?
It would be SurveyMonkey.
So, you know, I think that's a fairly simple thing. Hopefully not a lot of staff time involved. I don't see any harm in doing a survey so you reach the broader community and also do some kind of outreach to the schools at the same time. Mm-hmm. That way you kind of cover both. I do like the fall idea because families are really busy right now. Well, kind of everybody's really busy right now, including you probably. So that would give you lots of time to do the Survey Monkey and do mm-hmm. put in motion what would be. It's kind of a lot of work working with a school, so that's not a small project. But that's kind of my recommendation. And if you do, you need a motion to do that? I mean,
we would need a motion as to which consideration you wanted to go for. The one thing I would like to point out to you is that we do have our next scheduled meeting at the end of August. So if we did launch a survey, we could come back to you in August with the results, and then we could determine if we wanted to continue forward at that time with additional outreach in the schools if you didn't feel that there was enough of a response. Oh. If that's an option, too. That way we can keep things moving forward, and if we still need something more, we can reach out a little further.
Okay.
That's a great idea. So would you like us to move on that, make a motion?
If that's your wish.
Hold on, Commissioner Warner.
I have another comment that I'd like to make. When I was reading through the documents before the meeting, I was actually leaning towards the first option of going ahead and getting started on this. The four parks that we looked at are small parks. I live close to both Berkeley and Andamar, and I have never seen anyone at Andamar Park. And so the fact that no one showed up or very few people showed up for that meeting just indicates to me that, you know, they're not interested. And so I was thinking what I would like to see is a look at the parks, how close they are to each other, and what kind of make some initial decisions about what we as a commission would like to see at the parks. I live close to Kellogg School, close to Berkeley Park, close to Andamar Park, and then there's another park just across the creek, which is in the county. If all of those parks are geared towards, say, the tot lot, there's no flexibility. So what I would ideally like to see is some decisions or some guidance that says, okay, well, Berkeley Park is perfect for the tots. Okay, let's move to Andamar. Let's put in some structures in there that maybe go towards older adults' fitness equipment. And then there's always the elementary schools that have equipment for the school-age children. So I would like to see this go on. I mean, I hate to see it stop. I mean, the presentation that you prepared was so detailed. We got a lot of good comments, and the people that showed up were really interested in the parks. And I think we have some information where we can put some meat on the bones of what we as a commission would like to see at these parks. That's my comments.
And Chair West, before a motion is entertained, I believe you may have some speaker slips as well.
I only have one remaining on C2.
Sorry.
C1.
No, this says C2. They're coming my way. I would just like to say something because Commissioner Warner and I were at the same outreach meetings. And it is funny. I know you and respect you. And it's funny how two people who are so dedicated can have totally different slants on how they perceive something. I walked away from those meetings feeling there were many mixed opinions in the audience. We had a very young woman desperate to have new play equipment for her young children. We had older, longtime residents who loved the beauty of the park and wanted to keep it very natural and respectful. We had a whole environmental group who wanted everything. I didn't hear them say mud, but, you know, nonetheless, they wanted everything very natural. So, and all in all, if there were six people there, I would say that would be it. And so I did not walk away feeling I had a sense of what that area wanted. And so, Mrs. Plummer, I love the idea about what you said to have the survey this summer, bring back the results in August, and then if we don't have a good response, then to move forward with the fall outreach to the schools. I think that's a great plan myself. I'm sorry.
And you have some speakers.
All righty. So we are going to now have, we have two requests to speak, and we will start off with Dr. Cox.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I hope that all commissioners got a copy of my email and attachment I sent to then Chair Hart. In February about the PIP surfaces?
Yes.
So everybody got a copy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Do the poured in place surfaces placed at Evergreen Park contain styrene or butadiene? If the answer is in the affirmative, the health effects of styrene, if ingested, could be brain, liver, lung, or kidney damage, according to the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. The EPA has classified 1,3-butadiene as a known human carcinogen. The Children's Environmental Health Center of the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, in its 2016 letter to the Connecticut General Assembly Committee on Children's, states, given the hazards associated with recycled tire rubber, it is our recommendation that these products never be used as surfaces where children play. It is also stated that temperatures over 160 degrees Fahrenheit have been recorded on recycled rubber play surfaces. Children are less able to regulate their body temperature than adults, and they sweat less. A letter of the American Academy of Pediatrics states that research indicates that from the age 2 months to 36 months, children engage in mouthing behavior between 20 minutes to 2.5 hours a day. If what they put into their mouths when they are in the surfaces playing contain toxic chemicals, imagine what this does to their health. Also, the warnings about strangulation on the local playground equipment need to be taken seriously and, in my opinion, need to be more prominent. All the warnings should be translated into Spanish. The Consumer Product Safety Commission reports the strangulation of a 3-year-old and another incident where the hood string of a child's jacket became entangled in the handrail and also resulted in a strangulation. The Safe and Healthy Playing Fields Coalition asks that residences near these fields should be considered in the study since they found a potential of 7 to 11 cancer clusters. The surfaces at Evergreen and Bella Vista are starting to discolor. I have pictures if you want to see them. The city might want to contact the manufacturer, and also the city might want to review the manufacturer's safety data sheets. The city needs to conduct additional research in the fall. The school could help in spreading the word. Please, also, the meeting should be at the park itself. That at least would help if we have one park commissioner in attendance. I support option 3 of the staff recommendations with additional outreach in the fall, but also I'm questioning how will you reach the Spanish-speaking population. The parks and open spaces have been in place before Goleta became a city. In both workshops, the participants preferred natural materials. I attended both of them. There were very few people there, 4 or 5 maximum, and I would please ask you to consider that. And also, if you want to speak with me regarding the medical effects, my background is I'm now retired. I'm a physician with specialties in emergency medicine, family practice, and occupational and environmental medicine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now I'd like to please call Vic Cox.
Thank you, Chair West and all assembled members. It's been a very interesting and educational session today. Congratulations on that. I personally don't see any conflict between having both numbers 2 and 3, especially if you're using SurveyMonkey. It strikes me as something you probably want to do, as suggested by several people on the commission during the summer, and then have the outreach again, and more detailed outreach, let's say, to the public in the fall. I support that. I'd also like to bring a little overview to your attention, which you have a very good environmental recreational needs assessment, I should say, that I was fortunate enough to be able to see, since I couldn't find it on the web, thanks to Mrs. Plummer and her staff. And it's got a lot of good ideas in it, worth reconsidering in some cases. But what struck me in particular is that when the city was born in 2002, there were 482 total acres and parks and open space. Of that, the Sperling Preserve, Lake Los Carneros, and Santa Barbara Shores amounted to 73% of that total. The rest of these were almost by definition neighborhood or vest pocket parks. So it might be good to take another look at your resources and ask yourself, do you really want to invest time and money in changing place structures, or do you want to expand the opportunities to enjoy these parks by the neighborhood? And I mean everybody, the Spanish-speaking, and there are actually some small Asian populations in our city too. All these things are good ideas, folks, and I'd like to see you just kind of prioritize them a little bit better for my purposes anyway, which is to get this message out to the public and not have just 5 or 6 people show up at your information sessions. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. And now we're going to move along to C2 for healthy eating active.
Chair West, you need to take action on C1 first.
You are so right. thank you very much. All right, do I have any motions for any of the options for consideration? Would anyone like to make a motion as to how we should progress? Yes.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we ask staff to do the online survey this summer and then have the outreach efforts in the fall with the schools and other public groups as it's appropriate, but for sure the schools. So we do 2 and 3.
Excellent. We need a second.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and we have...
Aye.
Oh, good.
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. Thank you. All right, now I'm going to move on to C2, okay? So we have a Healthy Eating, Active Living, Heal Cities campaign presentation brought to us by Joanne Plummer, our Parks and Recreation Manager.
Thank you, Chair West. Members of the commission and our audience at here and at home, we received a presentation last meeting from the Live Well Santa Barbara County, and one of the items that was brought up during that was the HEAL initiative, the Healthy Eating, Active Living. And it actually caught the eye of one of our commissioners who asked the question, why does Goleta not why is Goleta not considered a heel city? And the response was, because nobody asked. So with that, we wanted to talk to you a little bit more in depth about heel and share with you some different experiences with heel. So a little bit of background. The League of California Cities supports the heel campaign. It goes back pretty far, the late 80s, early 90s, where they started a bunch of different health initiatives, then fitness initiatives and exercise initiatives, and coming together and pulling all the partners together to realize that the true story is healthy eating, active living. And the League committed to this and developed a Heal Cities campaign. And out of that campaign, they actually secured funding partners to include Kaiser Permanente as one of their primary funders. And they were all identified, secured, and there is actually a Heal Cities campaign office where cities can tap into resources to find whether it's funding opportunities or other activities that they can do. Or right now, the Heal Cities campaign is really working on a complete park plan and to help cities develop new parks that are all inclusive of healthy eating, active living opportunities. So it's hand in hand with what we're doing. So when nobody asked Goleta, I thought that maybe somebody should. So, and ironically, we actually had a community member about a week after our meeting shoot me an email saying, have you heard of Heal? And I believe you're going to hear from her a little bit later tonight. To date, 190 cities throughout California have joined this campaign. So in 2004, the League of California Cities passed a resolution that encouraged other cities to embrace the policies that promote safe and healthier cities. In 2006, they adopted a resolution to help cities promote wellness policies and healthier cities, counties, and school partners. And in 2008, Kaiser Permanente committed to the campaign and has been a generous sponsor. Local partners in the campaign in Santa Barbara County is 2012, the city of Lompoc joined the campaign. They were first in the county. In 2014, the city of Santa Barbara. In 2016, the city of Santa Maria made a similar commitment. It's not quite HEAL. They have their own variation. And in 2016, the county of Santa Barbara adopted the HEAL campaign. There are three cities in San Luis Obispo County, two cities in Ventura County, and as mentioned earlier, on April 26th, the commission heard a presentation that talked a little bit about the campaign. This is what the Heal Cities map looks like. So when you look at our region, there's very few of us, but we're starting to pop up further and further. You see a lot condensed down in Southern California and a lot in Northern California. This logo that you see here, Healthy Eating Active Cities campaign, if you do become a Heal City, you can put that on, you can incorporate that onto your website or into any materials showing that health is important to your city. So what is the focus of the resolution? I attached a very, very, very draft copy of our resolution. We still have many different eyes that need to take a look at that resolution, and we did receive some input. I know that Commissioner Hart sent me some responses as well that will be incorporated. We've reached out to our planning department, our public works department, our clerk's office, and we're asking a lot of other entities to include our legal office should the commission choose to take this further. Employee wellness is, I can give you an example of what this meant to the very first city in our county that adopted it. When Lompoc adopted the HEAL resolution, their school district took a very active role in creating an employee wellness program and a student wellness program, and they went all in. The city also had an employee wellness program, and it's just basically for cities, it's leading by example. So it's saying that our employees are important to us, their health is important to us, and the benefits of having your employees well far exceed the cost to provide those opportunities for them in the cost of insurance, in sick days, in overtime, and everything else. Access to healthy food. This can be a point that is alarming for some when they consider it. And as you're reading through that information in the draft resolution, it's not identifying that this restaurant or this location is healthy. This is not healthy. It's making sure that there are healthy opportunities for your residents to choose. We're not going to tell somebody that they can't eat XY restaurant food, but we want to make sure that they have a choice to go to XY restaurant food, or they could also go to a community garden that might be next door, or a farmer's market, or a grocery store, or a convenience store that instead of just candy and chips at the register, perhaps they have an apple or a banana. And you see as you travel up and down the coast, a lot of convenience stores are doing that. They're providing some of those healthier options. We're not telling people how they can eat. We're just allowing them the opportunity to make that conscious choice. The built environment, James spoke tonight about that, is connecting the opportunities so that people don't have to get in their car and drive. They can walk around, they can bike around, they can get out and enjoy the healthy air and get from point A to point B, maybe without using a motor transportation, allowing opportunities like our open spaces for people to hike, our hiking and biking trails, our parks for people to get out there and get involved and do things, our calendar that reminds them they can go play soccer. Andamar Park is big enough to kick a soccer ball around. It's allowing them to get out and enjoy. So keeping that built environment in the eyes of your planners and your engineers as they're working on projects is important. And in what I've seen in the short time I've been in Goleta, we're doing all of this. We're doing it. The only thing we haven't done is we haven't actually made this a policy to say this is important to us. So that is kind of what the focus is of the resolution. So the recommendation tonight is not necessarily to say that you recommend the draft resolution that was put towards you. It is saying that you want to see Goleta go to this idea, go to the Goleta City Council to consider Goleta as a HEAL city. So if we do that, we'll be working on the draft resolution over the next few months to fine tune it. And then it would probably go to the city council in either August or September or early fall. So we're looking at, it's not going tomorrow, but we still have a lot of work to do. But if this was a desire of the commission to move forward, then we would continue to move forward in this direction. And I'm available for any questions.
I have a question. You know, as Americans, we're living longer, and I was wondering, we have many people who live in the city of Goleta who are aging in place in their own homes, and certainly they might be out of the workforce, but how does this help senior citizens who live in the city?
Well, our senior citizens would be like any other citizen. We would want to provide a safe opportunity for them to walk or bike to get out, to continue to provide opportunities such as the senior programs at the Goleta Valley Community Center. So it's, again, in enjoying the opportunities that we have available to them, maybe participating in a community garden and things like that, or even when they go to the grocery store, again, having healthy options available for them to choose.
I guess where I'm a little bit confused, for example, at the Community Action Commission, that is a federally funded and mandated program to serve the needs of low-income seniors, and frail seniors get a home-delivered meal. So those are federal dollars. So is their funding going to be channeled to help CAC, for example, deliver food, or is there any money allocations involved in this, or is it simply agreeing that, yes, we'd like to add our names to this?
There is no funding involved. The funding from Kaiser Permanente is to the organization to allow the resources to be available to cities that need some help in gaining access or taking gathering information or identifying potential collaborative partners for different things. Looking at programs like that, those are federal dollars, same as the school food service program or even the summer food service programs. Those are with federal dollars that typically will require that all those foods are balanced. So mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. the city could do is, let's say, for example, a nonprofit entity approached us and said they wanted to have a summer food service program feeding site at one of our parks. If we're a HEAL city, that would be an easy yes to say we could do this, as long as, you know, we make sure that all of our ducks are in a row.
Questions? Speaker?
Don't you have a public speaker?
Well, I was first going to complete. Anybody else? Yes, Coach Ruth?
I think it's a great idea. You said that you want to have the city of Goleta be the ones who are the model for this program. So my question would be, do you have plans to put a wellness center located in this building, or for at least the people in this building to utilize, or could you partner with Goleta Valley Athletic Club for memberships for the city of Goleta workers? And that way you can model your own fitness towards the rest of the community.
So we would not be putting a wellness center in our facility, but there are some elements that are outlined in the resolution, some suggestions if you were to go to their webpage about what an employer could do. One example would be to encourage walking meetings. One example would be to, instead of somebody just taking a break, for the entity to encourage active breaks. I know a lot of the times here, because we're in a building, if we're taking a break, we're walking around the outside of the building to enjoy the fresh air and, again, being active. So it's the city could be the leader in saying wellness is important for us, to our employees, and then, which I will tell you right now, they do a very good job of doing that in all the elements that they have in place. And then other people could look to them. I know that in other cities, there's a lot of sharing of resources with organizations such as, who is your employee assistance program? What kind of arrangement do you have for wellness? Have you done walking meetings? How effective are they? Do they get off on, you know, do you stay focused? Do they get off on tangents? You know, things like that. So it's more of a sharing of a resource. And like I said, the city of Goleta is doing a good job in all assets of this from what I've observed. And I'm looking to my peers right now for their input to confirm those findings. And if we're not doing it, do we want to do it? Is it something we would want to commit to? And then what we want to put into place to present to the council.
And would it behoove you to go into the private sector and look at what they have for their wellness centers and how they can keep employees engaged and working there longer because of them taking breaks to work out? Have you ever thought about that?
So we wouldn't be necessarily going into other businesses to say, hey, you should do this. But what we can do is say, hey, we do this, and we have found that it has provided us great success in less absenteeism, less time off, less overtime because of people covering other shifts. So we can always share that model. If we do pass a HEAL resolution, there are resources. And if anytime I get a phone call and someone needs something, I get on the phone and I try to solve their problem as soon as possible. So if a business were to call us or talk with our economic development coordinator and say, hey, what's this all about? By all means, we would share the resources that we have available, and then also some of the partners that we have throughout other communities.
And would you but what I'm saying is there's a lot of places close to where we are right now that have these wellness centers. As a city, could you go in and evaluate what they are doing and make the city of Goleta like that?
Adopt
some of those things that they're doing.
We could definitely explore what other entities are doing, and if feasible, our city could choose to adopt some of those options.
I just wanted to say I'm very supportive of the participation in the program, and I think that, you know, the keystone of it is education, and I think as long as, you know, there is some modeling in the city, that's a very effective thing. It plants some of the seeds to hopefully get this growing like a wildfire out there. But I believe that the main component is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is empowering, all of that. But I think that as people get those opportunity or get that information, then you can make the opportunities available to access fresh fruits and vegetables and those kinds of things, then it's going to go a long way. So I just wanted to add my support.
Thank you.
So what would you like of us, or what do you need from us right now?
You have a speaker.
No, you didn't need us to make any action?
Not until
time.
After you hear from your speaker.
Okay. All righty. That's what you've been trying to tell me over there. Okay, we have a request to speak from Ms. Miller.
Good evening, Commissioners and Chair West. My name is Luann Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Isla Vista Youth Projects. We have four sites, one being in the city of Goleta and the others being in the unincorporated part of the county in Isla Vista. One of the programs we have is called Thrive Isla Vista, which is a community-based initiative, and we have four main goals, one of them being to improve the overall health of the families we're working with in Isla Vista. I was the one who sent an email to Joanne wondering about Goleta and their interest in becoming a HEAL community. And I'm really excited to see this presentation tonight and that there's interest among it, among you all. I think that Goleta, you know, it's a community with healthy trees. Doesn't it have some standing as that, a tree community? It's one of the safest communities in California. And we can be one of those cities that really prioritizes health for our residents. So I'm very excited to speak to this tonight. Interestingly enough, I was just at a forum today at Cottage Hospital, and they're doing a community health population revision to how they're going to be working in the community. And they gave us some statistics. So some of the health indicators, 50% of our health is decided by our behavior, 20% by our environment, 20% by our genetics, and 10% by medical. And on the other side, we are spending almost 90% on medical interventions when we know that 70% is our behavior and our environment. So that's parks, that's eating healthy, that's encouraging our children to develop those habits when they're very young. So I think we have the ability to begin to switch the scale on how we are as a community. So I wanted to give you an idea of what we've been doing in Isla Vista since 2010. Our health strategies include addressing food insecurity, which is access to healthy foods, reducing barriers that families may have to get food. We have monthly pantries, emergency pantries. We have a community food truck that comes through Santa Barbara School District. We are doing nutrition and health education with parents, helping them to learn how to cook more healthy, rethink your drink. We're replacing sodas with water, dental screenings. We have adopted a healthy school policy in Isla Vista at the Youth Projects that coincides with what is at Isla Vista Elementary School. And you would have thought that the sky was going to fall down when I was working with my staff saying that for Halloween and Easter and all the major holidays, we were not going to serve sugary items. And for a child's birthday, we were not going to serve cake. But I'm telling you, we survived the first year, and we've been doing it now for 7 years. And parents are learning, we're modeling to them how to celebrate their children more healthy. So we have fruit kebabs, we have yogurt, cheese, you know, just amazing things that you can do that don't involve sugar. So what have we seen? In those years since 2010-11, we've seen a 7% decrease in the body mass index of children. Now, that doesn't seem like a large percentage, but it's a slow needle to move. And 7% means that we have 7% less children that are obese or over obese. And that's amazing. And I think that the strategies we're doing in Isla Vista are working. And I think it can be scaled up to the city of Goleta through this health initiative. We also have an outdoor classroom philosophy where we have children outside and active all the time. A lot of children in Isla Vista live in apartments, and so for them to play outside, it's a field trip to a park. So we try to do that as much as we can during the day with our children. We've also reduced dental caries. So one of the things that happens as you're eating more healthy foods is that you have less dental issues. So we model this for parents. We do parent education with them on the importance of healthy eating and brushing their teeth. And overall, we're seeing an improvement in the health of children and families in Isla Vista. So I'm excited for Goleta. I live in the city of Goleta, and I will be right along with you here as you're doing this journey. And congratulations on the first steps.
Thank you for your great presentation. Okay, now, may I ask, what do you need of your commission at this point?
We would need you to make a motion whether or not you would like us to carry this item forward, this concept forward to the City Council with your endorsement.
Okay.
I would like to so move that we support this initiative and this draft resolution.
Excellent. Do we have a second?
I second it.
All righty. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, great. There you go. Okay. Without any further ado, so we're going to move on to item D, the director's report.
Madam Chair, members of the Parks Commission, pleased to provide you the director's report for your meeting tonight. If we can have the... There we go. Thank you. The first item that we would like to share with the commission is the budget recap. As you're aware, the City Council just recently went through a budget process to adopt the next two-year budget. The city has a two-year budget process for 2 years, fiscal years 17, 18, and 18 and 19. The council held a number of workshops in May to discuss the revenues and expenditures for the next coming years, 2 years. On June 6th, the council adopted the fiscal year 17, 19 operating and capital improvement project budgets for the city of Goleta. I might point out that in the city's capital improvement program, there are 55 projects totaling $132 million over the next 5 years, so it's a very significant work effort. Out of those 55 projects that I just referred to, there are 9 specific projects related to parks and recreation that we have highlighted for you here on this slide. And many of these projects should look familiar to you. For example, the Parks Master Plan, the athletic field at the Goleta Valley Community Center, which, by the way, we're waiting to hear from the state. We were told by the end of June. We're rapidly approaching the end of June. So we're hoping to hear any time. We're hoping now that we'll have an update for you at the next meeting in August to improve that field at the community center, which we spoke to you previously about in our April meeting. The Evergreen Park multipurpose field, the park restrooms, the reclaim water to Evergreen Park, and a number of other projects there. As you heard from Ms. Plummer tonight on our public outreach program, item number 7 talks about the miscellaneous park improvements, which are the 4 parks, Andamar, Berkeley, and Winchester 1 and 2. Also, Hollister Kellogg Park, which you have heard throughout the year about our attempts to get that project really shovel ready and ready to go. We are in litigation with the state on that, and we're hoping to have that resolved soon so we could get that project built. It's important to point out that this project is funded, and there is also a competitive grant that the city applied for and received. It was about $910,000, which was for the development of that park. So it's important to share with all of you and for the viewing public at home that that project is fully funded, and we're waiting to move forward as quickly as we can as soon as the legal issues are resolved at the state level. And lastly, one of the projects that you've heard and you've commented on has been the community garden. The total amount cumulatively over the 9 projects that you see there is over $10 million. So this is an ambitious work effort over the next 2 years, and staff will be working very closely with the Department of Public Works, and we will be providing you periodic updates on all these projects. So for the newest members of the Parks Commission, as well as our the legacy members of our Parks Commission. This slide is important, and I wanted to just, beyond the numbers that you're seeing here, these are real projects in the community, and these are real budget numbers that reflect work efforts to improve the quality of life for our residents in the city of Goleta, as well as improving and upgrading the various facilities that you see there listed on that slide. And I know when we were talking about in the early days with the Parks Commission, looking at tangible budgets and projects that really could be brought to the community to help improve their neighborhoods, to help improve the recreational experience and quality of life, this for staff is certainly a very important moment to share with all of you, because we went through a process with the City Council where they approved the budget, where they heard about I don't know if you saw, but in some of the workshops that we had, We actually had Ms. Gaglione and myself sitting here in front of the council providing project information related to these various projects because they had questions about them. So it's really a great moment to just share with all of you what we're seeing on the slide. Like I said, beyond the numbers and beyond the description of the facilities, it's just important to share with you what a great opportunity this is to share with the community what we're looking forward to trying to get accomplished over the next 2 years. And next slide. This is the five-year capital improvement projects that also relate to park and rec related activities. So Santa Barbara Shores Park improvements, the San Miguel Park improvements, Rancho La Patera. Also, as you've heard a lot about, also are the community center improvements, the Stowe Grove multipurpose field. One of the items I know you're very interested in and we've heard a lot about is the swimming pool or the aquatics center, as well as the recreation center gymnasium. These are projects that are budgeted on the five-year horizon. So the first 2 years that we're really going to be focusing on the nine projects that we just showed you. But just so you know, these projects are also part of the capital improvement program, and they're on the radar. And as you can see, there are budgeted amounts related to those projects that are now real projects and real funds. So again, another great opportunity to just share with the commission and for our viewing audience at home some of the great things that we look forward to seeing come to fruition in the community. We also wanted to share with the commission that within the approved budget are memberships to professional organizations. The commission, along with the Department of Neighborhood Services and Public Safety, has a membership to the California Parks and Recreation Society. CPRS is an organization that is a nonprofit, professional, and public interest organization with close to 4,000 members who create community by providing recreational experiences to individuals, families, and communities. So CPRS is really a tool and a resource for this commission and for this city to not only network, but to keep up and abreast of all the development and changes happening in the area of parks and recreation. So we're pleased to share with the commission the approval of funding for the commission to be members of the CPRS. Also, we're members of the NRPA, which is the national level, the National Recreation and Park Association. It is the leading nonprofit organization dedicated to the advancement of public parks, recreation, and conservation. So we're really excited about some of these things. We're looking forward to also conducting training for the Parks Commissioners coming up, so there is included budget for that. I know some of you have asked about training opportunities, so we have that included. We are still seeking local training opportunities here with other agencies locally. And the last bullet point item that you see there on the PowerPoint is the California Park and Rec Society will be having a training, a statewide training in Long Beach in March of next year. So Ms. Plummer will be assisting us in attending that event, and we're really excited about being there. And I know it seems like a long way away, like it's March of next year. I just want to point out to you that we're already in June, and our next meeting will be in August. So we're getting through this year pretty quickly. The goals that we have in working with the Parks Commission is to certainly to push forward as much effort as we can in completing the identified projects in the capital improvement program, to develop program policies for users, for example, youth sports leagues and community gardens, to continue the youth and family roundtable, which Ms. Plummer kicked off this year and was well attended. And I think it was really great that she took the initiative and brought together all of these various folks together to just talk about, you know, issues in the community. And I think really this collaboration will bode well for the city's efforts in the area of parks and recreation and working with the commission. We will continue to seek grant funding to support efforts identified in the recreation needs assessment. The state grant that was applied for improvement of the community center lot was actually discovered by Ms. Plummer, and we were able to submit the application and get it in a timely manner. I know a number of the council members were really pleased to see us obviously pursue that, but we will continue to seek grant funding for these types of projects in our recreation needs assessment. As you know, there's a lot of competition for grant funding, but we hope to have some good news for you very soon. We were hoping to have it by today, but we were told by the state by the end of June, and we're like, okay, it's already the 28th of June, and there's not much time left, but we will absolutely come back to you with an update on that. And lastly, this is kind of an ongoing effort, but an important one to mention and to share, that we will continue to work with community members and organizations in addressing the city's recreation needs. It's really about people, and it's really about reaching out and talking to people and talking to organizations and talking to different agencies in this common goal that we have in this area, recreation needs and really quality of life. With regard to the joint use agreements with school districts, we just recently met with the, I believe it was the assistant superintendent for the Goleta Union School District, Mr. Conrad Tedeschi. We had an excellent meeting with him. This occurred just yesterday. And they were, he was very receptive and absolutely open to working with the city. In fact, appreciated the partnership with the city. The Goleta Union School District has a new superintendent coming on board, Ms. Donna Lewis. So we will be continuing to work with the school district. We talked about common goals and common interests that we have between the city and the school district. And it was just a great opportunity to collaborate with Mr. Tedeschi and the school district. So we hope to have updates for you soon. We're looking at draft concept ideas between the district and really the use of their facilities. They recognize already that by default, many of their schools have weekend activities already where people are going to their school facilities and playing, whether it's AYSO or touch football. We even talked a little bit about baseball. So we're really excited about that opportunity. As I mentioned, we'll have an update for you on the HRP program grant, the Housing Related Parks grant. Coming up on Tuesday is the 4th of July event at Gersh Park. It's a wonderful event put on by the Goleta Noontime Rotary, and it's a great time to have pie eating contests and just having a safe and great place to see the fireworks and just a great place for the community to come together. And so we're really excited about that.
Heel would like to see something other than a pie-eating contest.
Well, maybe a vegetable-eating contest or something, but there's definitely going to be food there, and I know I always like to hear about food, and I know many of you do too, but beyond the food, I know it's a great time for families just to come and enjoy that event. Gersh Park is really a great gem that we have in the community, and it's just great to be able to go there and enjoy that. And lastly, and this kind of goes without saying, but we will be providing updates to the Parks and Recreation Commission about the various projects identified in the budget, because these are now work efforts. And so as you've seen already in this year, what we've brought in and invited, for example, today, Mr. Winslow, who provided you the Bike Ped Master Plan update from the Department of Public Works, we work closely with the Department of Public Works in implementing and carrying out these various projects. And so we know that it's important to keep you updated on our progress, and we will be doing that very periodically and are pleased to be able to provide updates. As we look to the next meeting of the commission, Wednesday, August 23rd, That will be the third. That will be the third to the last meeting of the year. I'd like to point out, because we will have a meeting in October, and then December. So, as I said, when we talked about March, it will be here before you know it. So, for the future agenda items for your meeting in August, we will have the pickleball pilot project report for the first quarter. We will provide a presentation on the Elwood Mesa's open space plan and coast trails and habitat restoration project. We will provide updates for you on the joint use agreements with the school districts. And we will also provide all the available project updates that we have to share with the commission our progress in moving those projects forward. There may be other items that pop up on the agenda that we'll share as they come up. We definitely will have a quick update for you on the HRP grant if it comes by that time also. This concludes my director's report and update, and just really pleased to provide you with a recap of the budget process and to show the connectivity between the budget process and the council's support and their approval of the budget and how it connects to the various work efforts connected in the Parks and Recreation area. So we're really pleased to be able to show you that connection, and now the work really begins. So with that, that concludes my director's report.
Yes, Commissioner?
Thank you for that, and it's really just, as a legacy member, I guess I was identified as, it's really encouraging to see the commitment of the city toward Parks and Rec. I just wanted to highlight also that, you know, in addition to these wonderful numbers that you're sharing with us about the capital improvement, that the city has shown its commitment beyond that and all sorts of other areas. And I know we try to, you know, tie this into a Parks and Rec umbrella, but just the Bike Master Plan is a case in point that there's a recreation, movement, all of those positive things that we're talking about, and it's not in these numbers. So I just wanted to highlight, I guess, to the people at home as well as the newer commissioners that the commitment from the city is extensive in this area, and I think it just shows what a great community we have and that we have our priorities in order. Because I do think that everything we talked about with HEAL and with health and all of those aspects are just being helped and prodded along by these commitments. So I'm really encouraged by the two-year budget that just got passed, and wanted to highlight that there's much more beyond that. Just as one other small comment, I believe the 4th of July is probably the biggest gathering of city residents that we have for any event. Is that probably true or close to true?
I believe it's very close to true, yes.
I was just wondering.
I can't think of any other event where you have that as many, but yeah. It's definitely up there if it's not the most.
We're talking about all these outreach and so on, and certainly not for this year, but maybe for future years, maybe we make a better effort at highlighting some of the online resources available from the city and other city resources, since
Absolutely.
This is a good gathering of the community?
Absolutely.
It's just an idea.
Yes, Commissioner?
I wrote that same thing down, but I also wanted to point out Lemon Festival would be a great opportunity to have a booth.
Absolutely.
For the surveys or outreach, and you could tie it in with one of the jumpers.
That's a great idea.
Because the kids come to the jumpers with the parents, and while the kids are going through the party play area, you could have a community member talk to the parents, maybe in English and in Spanish, about what's happening with the city, with the HEAL program, and on and on. So those would be my two suggestions. I also had a question. If we had any ideas on projects, who do people of the public talk to for ideas for other projects with the Parks and Rec? Is that you, Joanne, or Vito, or?
Ms. Plummer would be a great resource, or certainly they can contact me at the city. That would be great.
Okay, and then many of you may or may not know my husband, but if I could share this text message with him. We talked about we're users of the Evergreen Open Space, and we talked about how dark it is there. And from those of you who don't know my husband, he's the Public Works Director for Santa Barbara County. And he suggested a grant called SB1. It has an active transportation light item, which would be perfect for the solar lights put in place at Evergreen Open Space. He also suggested regional Measure A, which has competitive grants that could be used as well, and that's how they fund things on the Auburn Trail and Marie Ignacio Trail. So the county has done things with their grant system. You probably know about this, but I just wanted to point it out one more time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner.
I have a question on one of the budget items, and that's the Parks Master Plan. How does that tie into the needs assessment? And this may not be the meeting to go over that, but I was just really intrigued about that. And what kind of timeline is there? I know it's 2 years, but...
Sure. So we've been actually working on the request for proposals for the Parks Master Plan right now. If, as you read through the recreation needs assessment, you will find a variety of locations where they talk to whether it's a maintenance standard or a sign standard or an equipment replacement plan or anything to do with the parks. Our general plan has a really good indicator of where we are park deficient, and as developments come in, where we will first identify new park locations. But this would be tied hand in hand and pulling all those resources together. A lot of the things that were listed in our recreation needs assessment, as well as a lot of our plans that you're hearing about in your meetings, and then also our general plan. The parks, typically in a lot of cities, you'll see a parks master plan combined with recreation. But Goleta's unique because we have parks and we don't have organized recreation as of yet being conducted by the city. So we did our recreation needs assessment because we identified a need, and we are working on our infrastructure. And so now we need to go back to our recreation needs assessment and put together the plan that had been identified of all the things that we were missing within our park structure to put that plan in place, so that it again will work directly with the recreation needs assessment, help out future whether it's we're looking at maintenance standards for an RFP for somebody to come in and do park maintenance in our parks, or we're looking at a funding source by way of how to replace these playgrounds into the future, how we replace bathroom structures, and looking at the data that was collected in our recreation needs assessment and interpreting that to some of our neighborhood playgrounds to see what other elements we may need later down the line and how those are going to be funded. I've been working with a few different cities. The city of Redlands as well as the city of Irvine both did parks master plans specifically on their parks, and we're gleaming a lot of the information. That's one thing I learned very early is borrow where you can, don't reinvent the wheel. And so we're working with them as well as a discussions with a few different consultants to see what other cities might be in the same situation that we're in, looking at how we can make that work. And again, it's building the roadmap for our parks. Our roadmap that we have right now through our rec needs assessment is these are your immediate needs in parks. We need to take care of those. And then we have to have a plan for the future, because 20 years from now, we're going to have to be doing this all over again. And we all may not be there. I won't be. So we all may not be there. So we have to have a plan in place, and we have to put that infrastructure in place so that we're not having to look for the money 20 years from now, that we've built in a means in which to collect that money so that people in the future have that resource available.
Do you have a timeline for when you're going to go out for the RFP?
We still have a lot of work to do. I'm hoping to have the RFP released before the end of the calendar year so that we can have a full year's worth of work and have the report towards the end of the second year.
There's a couple of things I'd like to say. First of all, I'd like to compliment our director and manager for their wonderful representation of the State of the City of Goleta event that I was lucky enough to attend. I was just so impressed by the large number of people there committed to the city of Goleta and all the staff and the wonderful city council who was very aware of the work of the Parks and Recreation Commission. And I felt very honored to be a part of that commission. So I wanted to acknowledge all that you have done to make us look so great at that state of the City of Goleta event. I also wanted to the 4th of July, I know that Anthony, the young man in charge of the CERT program, is seeking volunteers from the community to either help direct traffic or to man a table, letting people know about the importance of becoming a CERT volunteer in the community. And I was wondering, would that give you enough time, you know, kind of piggybacking on the Lemon Festival idea you had about having information available at that? Would there be time to have a little handout where the CERT table would be on the 4th of July, letting people know that there will be forthcoming a playground equipment survey and stay tuned? And I mean, because there's going to be thousands of people at that event. It was just a suggestion, maybe.
We can definitely explore the option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then as another one of your only other legacy members, I just wanted to say how very impressed, dear director, that I am watching everything on that screen about all the work that has been done based upon the needs assessment and all the community outreach and input. And it was just really wonderful to see it up there on the screen and to thank you for all that you've done for all of us and how wonderful to have Mrs. Plummer on board now for us. Are there any other comments? So if not, I'd like to thank everybody for staying tuned if after 2 hours they're still watching, and the meeting's adjourned.